The following programming is sponsored by Bloomer's Home and Garden Center. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
Kate texted the Bloomers in the Garden page, Facebook page at that, and asked about these tiny red spider-like insects crawling over her container garden and her container. Hear the solution in our first segment.
A regular listener, Arthur, called the Bloomers in the Garden hotline and had questions about his lawn. Hear all about it in our second segment.
We get a lot of watering woes from our listeners and customers. Hear our advice if your plant has gone a little crispy in our third segment.
Leaves of three, leave it be. Poison ivy is a real problem to most homeowners. We have ways to eliminate poison ivy during our fourth segment.
Finally, in our What's Bugging You segment, this segment's going to stink. Skunks are bugging me, and they're holding a friend's family hostage because they're eating mulberries that are around the driveway, and that it traps them in their cars or in their, they're afraid to go outside. Hear what you can do about skunks in our final segment.
So stay tuned, and we'll be right back in the garden right after these messages. Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden. Fertilome's Triple Action contains 70% neem oil and 0.25% pyrethrins as a concentrate and ready to spray. It is an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide labeled to use on vegetables, fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, and ornamentals. This organic OMRI-listed product controls a wide variety of insect pests and diseases, including aphids, scale, spider mites, white flies, rust, leaf spot, and powdery mildew. This insecticide is an all-in-one bottle that will cure just about any problem you may run into throughout the year. Fertilome's Triple Action has been helping gardeners across the country for years. Best to apply in late evening and early morning hours. Mix 1 ounce, which is equivalent to 2 tablespoons in a gallon of water. The best part is, Triple Action may be used up to the day of harvest. So, the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's Triple Action and expect to have the best-looking plants in the neighborhood.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers' YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Welcome back. Kate has these tiny red spider-like crawling insects all over her container garden. And she sent us a picture. So keep that in mind. The next time you call the hotline, you can follow it up with a picture. Text us a picture as well of what you're talking about. That is a big help. But we love to have people call. Oh, yeah. So here's what she had to say.
Kate from Winslow Township sent this. I have these red spider-like insects in my container garden. What are they, and how can I get rid of them? Wow.
That was enough.
Yeah, that's enough.
Tiny red spider mites.
Yeah.
That was easy.
Yeah.
All right, next segment. No, mites are a problem. The hotter it is, the worse they are. And it's because they can have a generation a week. So if you think that one spider mite can lay 100 eggs, and that so if it's a month, there's 400 from just one. Wow. But then you multiply that, so, you know, it's like compounding. So 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100. And all of a sudden they're massing on your container gardens.
Yeah.
But also they are often on your Alberta spruce. Oh, we get us, people come in all the time. I have a problem. My Alberta spruce doesn't look right. A lot of your nursery plants, a lot of times it's on conifers like junipers and spruces and things like that. But it also gets on all of your ornamental annuals. And it certainly can live in this little container garden that she has. And they'll actually run around on the actual pot itself. And because these are red, they're easy for her to see.
To see it, yeah.
But what they do is they basically suck the life out of your plant. It's not like they're going to chew a hole in the leaf. They stab their proboscis in and suck out everything. It's not a great insect because it can come in. It's like paratroopers coming on your plant. Well, it just destroys it.
What was that word again?
Proboscis.
Okay.
It puts its mouth parts and sucks it out. How's that?
Pause.
Anyway, but again, it's hot weather, what we're in now, and that there can be up to 20 generations per year. So amazing. 20, that's 2,000 from each one. So she sent us a picture, and it looks like it's on her driveway, that of the one red spider mite. So that one could actually produce 2,000 of having 20 generations. So that's one, and it produces 100. So, all right, that's enough math. So, again, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. They live for about 30 days, and that's just they build up so rapidly it catches you off guard. And that's why so many landscape plants are hurt, because you don't realize what's going on until all of a sudden it turns a, like the color of the plant turns like a shade different, and it doesn't look right. And it's a shade different. It's because there's so many that are on there eating off of that one plant that it's sucking the life out of it. And that's pretty much what it does. But you know what? That mites are not insects. There you go. This is where we get to be smart.
Yep.
They're actually smart. Related to ticks and spiders. And that they're just awful. You can see webs. Here's a question for Julio. Will I stump Julio?
Stump the stars.
Are spider mites always red?
No, they're not.
That's right. That's right.
I think it'd be yellow.
Black.
Black.
Most of the time they are black. Mm-hmm. One trick to finding out what you have going on a plant, and I don't care, you know, if you think it's spider mites or whatever, this is anytime. Take a white sheet of paper, just a regular 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, go next to the plant, hold the piece of paper up against the plant, and just tap the foliage so that you get, say, you might get, if it's a needled evergreen, so you might get some needles on there, you might get, but you will get insects on that white sheet of paper, and all of a sudden you see these little things scurrying around. Yeah. Guess what? They're eating your plant. You know, not only they're eating your plant, they are going to cost you money because they're going to kill it. If you don't do something about it, they are going to kill it. I think we have spider mites as the biggest problem for most of our nursery plants that come in where people are having a problem. Don't you think, Cool?
I think so, yeah.
It's mostly on needled evergreens, but it does happen occasionally on different types of foliage plants, the type that will get leaves. So you still get it. You still get it. They don't discriminate.
No, they don't.
They don't discriminate.
NED.
Yeah. So what do you do about it? Because they have so many generations, and you are literally being amassed with these insects, that you have to do a spray program Or you can use a systemic granule. It takes a little longer. Where if you're using a contact spray, you've got to be out there like every other day. So if they're having all of these generations in a week, you know, you've got to do it every week, nonstop.
Yeah.
So if you do, say, the first application and use something like, I do like spinosad because it's organic for the first spray. But at the same time, you can apply the systemic granules into around the soil so that it can start working systemically. And when an insecticide or disease control works systemically, it's making the plant resistant to the insect or the disease. Systemics are the way to go for long-term problems, multiple generation insects like the spider mite. So again, because you want to clean it up right away and get that one generation, other generations are right on that plant behind it. You're not going to, you have to spray it almost every week to keep it under control with a contact spray. With a systemic, if you do one contact spray and then do systemic from then on in, you'll be good to go. BioAdvance for New Jersey has a little bit different chemistry, that it's not the imidacloprid that we have bought in the past. It is slightly different to where, from as far as my understanding is from the folks at BioAdvance, that is, it is accepted from New Jersey. Pennsylvania and other areas still are able to use imidacloprid straight, but there has been an issue with the way that it was used in New Jersey, and the New Jersey law has basically banned it. But BioAdvance is the only company that has changed it. Now, there is a systemic spray, and that, again, this is acetate, and that where it is a systemic insecticide absorbed through the leaves and through the roots, where, again, this is one, folks, this is an ancient spray. This is 40, 50 years old, the active ingredient in this, and that it still works, it's still safe to use, and that you just need to make sure on any of the insecticides, whether it's organic or whether it's not, you need to read the label. And please ask questions when you're in your local garden center and ask them to go through it with you. I literally open up these booklets that are on the back and I show the customer where it's supposed to be sprayed, how it's supposed to be sprayed, and I actually write on the bottle with a Sharpie of what the dilution rate is per gallon. So that way when they get it home and they all of a sudden, ooh.
What did you say?
I almost said, pull Biden. Ooh. Aaron's laughing. Thank you, Aaron, for the support. That where they forget, like, what did he say? And that it's the whole same thing. Yeah. It's where you need to go and put the right amount so that you can control the insect you're trying to get to. Systemics are the way to go, especially when you're dealing with things like the whole mites are impossible. Yeah. Aphids are the same way. They breed so much, you have to continue to yeah, use it. So another thing, what I would use, contact first, then a systemic. Yeah. I think everyone's landscape has mites. I would swear.
Every year.
You know, it's one of those insects that seems like it never goes away.
Yeah.
And I would start in spring using a systemic granule and use that every spring, and then once during the summer. So again, right, started in April when the plants start actively growing, then start in, I would do it again in sometime in July, and then I would again do it sometime in September. Your plants will be clean.
I think Kate got lucky that she was able to see them, the red.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. And I mean, stand out on the edge of the pot. The red ones are incredible. The black ones, on the other hand, you can't see. Yeah. Oh, they look tiny little specks.
Right.
But when you use that white paper trick, you can see them scurrying around on that piece of paper.
Okay. Yeah.
You have questions. You know what to do.
Yeah.
Call the hotline. Text us the picture that is associated with what you're talking about. Call the hotline. We love hearing our customers, and we call you back. We let you know personally what the solution is, and that we want you to make sure you send us some pictures, because that helps us. Because, again, we can translate, you know, that black fuzzy thing that's moving all around and I don't know what it is, or it's, I really like that yellow plant that used to be at my grandmother's house and it goes like this. Yeah. If you're looking on YouTube, I'm doing that like flush look. And that we can determine what you're talking about with the help of descriptions and talking in person along with the pictures that you send. So again, call the hotline. That's 609-685-1880. We've got a break. We'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Wanting to up your game in the vegetable garden? With 90 years of organic gardening experience, the Espoma Company has you covered. Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your average garden variety fertilizer. Garden Tone is especially blended for organic vegetable gardens. Its all-natural formula contains Biotone, a blend of organic ingredients that supplies essential nutrients for strong, healthy plants and mouth-watering vegetables. Its slow-release formula provides continuous feeding. The Biotone contained in Garden Tone is a combination of organic ingredients and beneficial microbes to help roots grow deeper and faster for bigger, more bountiful harvests. Garden Tone is simple to use and safe for people, pets, and the planet. No harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers are ever added. You can find Garden Tone at fine garden centers. Visit Espoma.com to find a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Last year, millions of Americans asked the internet about protecting their lawns and gardens. There's one simple answer: BioAdvanced. Because gardeners have trusted the blue bottle for decades. Invasive insects? Blue bottle. Lawn fungus? Blue bottle. Japanese beetles? Blue bottle. A BioAdvanced answer for every question and guaranteed solutions for every problem. BioAdvanced. Get more from the blue bottle. BioAdvanced All-in-One Rose and Flower Care controls insects and diseases, plus weeds.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Arthur called the Bloomers in the Garden hotline and had questions about his lawn. Here's his call.
Hi, it's Arthur from West Milford, New Jersey again. And I just have another question. You did a fantastic job on my last question concerning wet soil and flies. My lawn consists of a lot of clover and dandelion. And I noticed that when I first cut the lawn, the yellow dandelions and clover are high and generally get cut. After the first couple of cuts, the flowers grow short and below the height of the mower. I'm just wondering if the lawns actually have some type of intelligence that they that trains them to do this. And what is the proper length to cut a lawn in this summer heat wave and the hot weather we're currently experiencing? Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Thanks for everything. Bye.
So, thank you for the compliment and the praise. We appreciate that. So, I understand what you're saying. It's like, all right, crap. You know, they're going to come and cut us down with the weeds. So, what we're going to do? Let's get together. We're going to have a meeting and let's just grow a little shorter. You would think that, but what really happens is that it's basically dwarfed. It's like when you prune and a plant gets fuller and because you prune it and you just don't let it grow much, and that's what's happening with those dandelions. I'll tell you what, easy control, but it's going to control your clover too. Clover is a unique plant that it actually pulls nitrogen out of the soil, puts it through the roots, and back into the soil, so it almost recycles nutrients. So, again, to control them, you can hit each individual dandelion so you keep the clover, and that it's got to be temperatures 85 degrees. And I suggest weed-free zone from Fertilome. It is a great typical weed control, but I like the price, and I also like how well it works, and it will work on when things are hot. Sometimes if you spray and you spray your lawn, you can get some burning if you do it in the wrong time. This says you can spray when the temperatures are as high as 90 degrees. 85 for me is my limit. Because I don't want to burn anything. So one thing about how high do you keep your grass at this point? Right now, you want to do 3.5 to 4 inches high. You're going to think of it as mulch for your lawn. If you keep it that tall, it's going to keep the moisture around on the ground so that the roots don't dry out. If you're cutting it any lower than 3.5 inches during the summer, you are going to have not only problems with drought, but you're also going to have disease issues. It's a major threat that the hot, dry weather can damage a lawn's root system and kill, you know, whole sections. So keeping it taller allows it, again, to shade the other lawn. Now, Julio, mm-hmm. I bet he doesn't know this.
I got zoysia grass.
You have zoysia grass, which is a warm season grass. Mm-hmm. I like to say it's a grass that does not belong in this area.
That's correct.
Vera Brown, are you listening?
Vera is the same.
I'm talking to you.
You're going to make Vera upset.
Okay, well, I'm taking a week off, so I shouldn't come in. See Julio.
Yeah, I'm here.
You guys can get the pitchforks out. So with zoysia, it actually can be a little bit lower. Then we're talking about with Arthur that it's going to be cool season grasses like fescue, like bluegrass, like ryegrass, where the warmer season grasses like zoysia can be cut lower at this time of the year. I hear zoysia's hard to cut in the first place.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah. So keeping it a little lower is a better idea.
Better.
You know, one thing about keeping your lawn taller with Arthur is you can also choke out some of the weeds because they're not getting the sunlight they need. A lot of times where you'll have all of a sudden you cut your grass lower and it seems like weeds take off, and it's because they're finally getting sunlight that was originally blocked on them. So, again, most of those weeds are controlled by weed-free zone from Fertilome. Great product. Again, that's weed-free zone from Fertilome. When the weather starts to cool down, you're going to adjust that mower height a little bit lower, okay, with each mowing. And that we're talking about September is that when you would start, and when it stops growing in the fall, you just basically stop your mowing again until the spring. But when you mow it low, you can do some seeding and you can do some lawn care to your lawn as opposed to during the summer months where, you know, you just are doing preventative maintenance and maybe some spot treatments. Mm-hmm. So, anything to add, Julio Zamora?
Yeah, do you prescribe or what do you think about those people who bag their grass clippings?
I think it's good and bad because thatch will act as a mulch for your grass, but if it gets too abundant, it needs to be taken out. So every 2 or 3 years, that's why people thatch their lawns. If they pick up their clippings, they won't necessarily have to do that as often, but they also won't have the mulch of their grass plants.
Yeah.
So thatch is not always a bad thing. And I would thatch in the fall. Thatch, seed, fertilize. That's fall is the best time for that.
Right.
All right. We'll be back in the garden right after these messages. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. We are proud to announce that Bloomers in the Garden has partnered with Renewal by Anderson of Greater Philadelphia, Delaware, South Jersey, and Southern Maryland. Renewal by Anderson is the top window and door company in the United States, specializing in replacement windows and doors. You might be thinking right now, what the heck do windows have to do with gardening? Well, Renewal by Anderson makes this beautiful garden bay window that's energy efficient and made from recycled materials. It's perfect for growing the finest indoor plants possible. When you are looking out your windows filled with plants in your beautiful garden, you don't want to see old windows that are cloudy, warped, or even rotting. That's why people in the horticulture community love Renewal by Anderson. Not only do we want our gardens to be beautiful, but their homes as well. Renewal by Anderson participates in horticultural events such as flower shows, earth days, and eco fairs. To get more information and set up a free home consultation, please visit www.philadelphiawindow.com. And be sure to tell them Bloomers in the Garden sent you. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. We're back. Watering woes.
Oh, yes.
My watering woes. I've got the blues. And it's running rampant.
It is.
Our customers, our listeners. And, you know, we've told you over and over, water more at one time and less often. Okay, more at one time and less often. And like, now we're going to tell you what to do when your plants have gone crispy.
Don't panic.
That's right. Exactly. One thing. So your plants shriveled up, and I don't care if it's an annual, a hanging basket, a shrub, or anything.
My poinsettia.
What?
My poinsettia. You remember my poinsettia?
Your poinsettia.
Yeah, right.
Did you put it back outside?
Earlier in the season, I did.
And it
got a little crispy.
Yeah.
I pulled it back inside. Yeah. It's still growing.
Well, at least it didn't get killed by frost. Is it coming back?
It is. It is. I'll show you some pictures later. Yeah.
All right. So don't lose hope.
Gotcha.
Okay. First of all, if it's shriveled up, you've got to determine, like we get this all the time. Here's my plant. It's shriveled up. You press the leaf. It's crispy like Rice Krispies. And you say, well, did you water it? And what's the reaction, Julio?
Yes, they watered.
Every day.
Every day. Yep.
I watered it every day.
Every day.
Every day. Every single day. Mm-hmm. Every hour.
Make sure to drink.
I paid more attention to this than I did my husband.
Anyway, but the reality is you have to determine if that's true. Did they overwater it? Because you get the same results from the leaves, whether it's overwater or underwater. There are sometimes you can see signs, but if it is crispy, okay, there's hope. If it is just like water-soaked, wilting leaves, and we're not talking about those cheaters out there that water it just before they leave home so that they can say that they watered it. Okay, we get that all the time. But the reality is that
the oxygen that's around the roots of your plant, that's essential for plant life and for plants to live. If you overwater, that oxygen is gone, and that root is basically suffocated, and you don't have much of a shot to bring it back. But if it dried out, okay, there's a chance, because a lot of times a plant will just lose its leaves and dry up, because the leaf of a plant, and here in the studio we have this is one of the sun patient types of impatiens and grows full sun. But it does the same thing all impatiens do, that if you don't water it enough, it just wilts down. It goes, all of a sudden it looks like it, you know, it's heading south. But all plants have little pores basically in the leaf where it lets out the water that's in the roots. Now, if you're on YouTube, you can see me going up and down on the leaf. And that when there's no water, it's basically dried up so much that it no longer can do its job, and it just kind of said, all right, we're going in suspension. We're done. You're not going to give me water? I'll show you what I can do. And that they go crispy. Now, I suggest if you have a crispy plant is to cut it back one-third. Okay, cut it back one-third and then resume watering it. The goal is to get new buds to form, and that there are always seems to be secondary buds on your plants when you have underwatered. And that it eventually that those buds begin to swell, and then it comes out and they produce leaves, and that it should be okay. So again, cut it back a little bit. Then you're going to want to, again, get those secondary leaf buds to form, and that it should resume. It takes a couple of weeks, so it's not going to be something
overnight.
And again, you want to have good watering practices. You want to, you know, moist but not wet. You want to let it dry out a little bit on the surface so that it retains that oxygen around the root system. Now, one mistake that people do is that they'll go and they'll just like saturate it. There's no leaves for that moisture to alleviate itself. Yeah. So, because the leaves are gone. Yeah. So again, water it on our traditional schedule that we talk about as far as letting the soil dry out a little bit between waterings. You don't want to flood it so that it doesn't ever dry out. So be cautious on what you do. You want to rehydrate the soil, but then you want to let it dry out, and then you want to rehydrate the soil again. So it's a pattern, okay? And it's really hard to reach that minimum, balance, wouldn't you say, Julio?
It is, but you learn after a while.
Yeah, and that's what gardening is. A study was done, and they were talking to master gardeners, and that they asked them, would you consider yourself a master gardener? To a team, they all said no. They all said no, yeah. Because there's always something else to learn.
That's right.
There's always something else to learn. This works with annuals, shrubs, even trees, and certainly hanging baskets. When we give our children plants, two customers, we're handing them off. It's like, you know, it's like, okay, the care is now your responsibility, and that we want you to take care of them and grow them. It's up for you to now make them thrive. It's not something where it's like, oh, it's dead, I'll replace it. Just put it in the trash. Learn. A lot of times that you know, it's not an automatic, like, let's just bring it back to the place where you bought it. I mean, Bloomers guarantees their trees and shrubs, their roses, but we do not guarantee annuals. They are subject to a lot of torture. Yeah. Same thing with perennials. Anything herbaceous that we do not guarantee, it's up to you to make sure that you make it thrive. And that some of these tricks, again, by cutting it back and then keeping it hydrated is a way to get a second chance at that plant. So what else can you add, Julio?
I just think that, you know, the learning process of how to take care of that plant when it's really, like you're saying, crispy,
right,
is essential to keeping it going. And you learn, and you learn how to take care of plants,
right? And if it's crispy, it's not necessarily dead.
Dead, yeah.
You scratch the branch, if it's a woody plant, mm-hmm. to see if it's green, to see if there's moisture retained into the stems, right. And that's another way. If that's dry and the branches are crispy and brittle, probably a good chance that it's dead.
Yeah.
But again. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
You'll be your side, dude. You know, you'd be like, you know, miracle worker. All of a sudden, the plants come back. It's like, look at that.
Look at that, yeah. That's what I did.
And that, you should be proud of yourself when you get that done.
You do, yeah.
You know, because you can do it. You can do it. Don't give up. Don't give up. And that's the one thing about gardening. We just always want to keep going.
Keep going
and keep trying. So again, crispy plants, cut it back. Resume your watering cycle, but not to flood it the way that you would if it had leaves, because there's no way for that water to escape unless it has leaves. So you're going to want to just be very, very specific the way that you're watering and careful. We'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Do you remember seeing that light green grass growing high in your yard late last June? Well, that was nutsedge grass. It always had a lighter green color, and it always grew faster than the rest of the lawn, and you'd find it in other places like along the sidewalk. It is the worst weed in the world. It's hard to get rid of. And what you need to use is Fertilome's Weed Out Nutsedge Control. It will control both yellow and purple nutsedge, plus over 50 broadleaf weeds such as dandelions, clover, chickweed, and ground ivy. Fertilome's Weed Out Nutsedge Control gets absorbed by the roots and the leaves, and within days, the sedges are gone. You may even reseed after 4 weeks of spraying the nutsedge. So when you start seeing those light green glass braids growing in your yard, make sure you purchase Fertilome's Weed Out Nutsedge Control to kill any nutsedge threatening to invade your nice green lawn. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Poison ivy is a nasty plant. Yeah, we know. The oil gets on your skin and you start to scratch and you start to itch.
Blisters.
Yeah, you get all kind of rash.
Do you get poison ivy bad?
I have never gotten any.
What?
I don't go into
areas. Well, I'm smart enough not to go into it. aren't you the greatest? But there are some people that don't get it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's some people that they're just somehow there's a resistance. Mm-hmm. My son Carl gets it really bad.
Oh, yeah.
And he just keeps going back for more. Yeah. You know, he had it this year again.
Oh, yeah.
And I can tell, like, when all of a sudden the peroxide and all that other stuff is coming out from where in the medicine cabinet.
I couldn't figure where I was getting it. I was actually getting it from my dog. When we lived in North Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my dog was out there all the way in the back, and that's where he does his business. Sometimes he puts his, you know, and he would come in the house and track it, and the oils would get on. Like, and I'm like, I'm not out in grass regularly.
Right.
You know, this is before I was working as armed guard. Right. Like, you would catch me out in the grass. Right?
Look at you now. You've come so far. But you haven't gotten poison ivy from going in the grass now.
No.
But your dog carried the oils on it.
He brought it
and spread it around.
It was everywhere in the house, somehow. It actually got in the carpet. I think that's what it was.
Because
it had to.
No way.
When we all laid down in our kitchen on the floor, we had a carpet, like a little small rug, like a mat rug that when you first comes in, it catches for your shoes and all that stuff. We lay our stuff down there on the floor and the dog will sit down there and wait for us to get done. And I actually remember rubbing on when I reached over, I remember rubbing my knee against the I don't know what it's called. It's like a little shiffer rope thing that we have there. Like, you know, like a
shiffer
rope. Yeah, shiffer rope. Like it's like a dresser, like a dresser that you put your keys and stuff on.
Okay.
And we have like all of that stuff in that corner. It's like a mini little washroom. And then I put my knee down and I got up and 3 days later, my whole side of my knee was like
red
and itchy. And it wasn't instant. I thought, you know, where would I have gone to get it? And only other thing that I could see was the dog because he's all the way out in back of the property.
It can. Surprise, though. But most of the time, it's that if you see it, and again, that leaves of three, let it be, that's poison ivy. The best way to control it at the time of year is in winter because the leaves aren't as active. But you still have to basically get your flannel on, get your long rose cutting gloves, and that you cut it at the base close to the ground and get rid of the vine in a plastic bag to keep it from spreading, and then wash everything, clothes, arms, everything. But in the growing season, that there's something that's called sucker punch. Well, you have that in front of you. If you look on to, do you have sucker punch with you, or do you have just poison ivy control? Now, that, Julio, do me a favor. While I'm talking, you see, I believe that you could put on the lawn and it will not kill the grass, but it will kill the ivy. There are several different types.
Yeah, it won't harm the lawn at all.
Right. So if you have it near the lawn or anything else, it's
fine.
It's a selective herbicide and it will control it. But you've got to spray it enough so that it's the point where it rolls the active ingredient rolls off the leaf because it's got to stick to that leaf and then work. And there are several types of poison ivy control, brush control, and that, I don't know, I'm an always, you know, do it once, then hit it again later on so you get it right down to the root. You don't want to just kill the leaves. And it's really something that you need to be diligent on. Yeah, it's a menace. It's a menace, especially anybody who has little kids. You know, you want to get that taken care of right away. There are other, like, non-traditional ways to get rid of poison ivy. Like, they have a propane-fired weed control where it actually just burns it. I can remember on the farm that we had, like, a weird thing like that. It was it scared the crap out of me. I wouldn't touch it. Because, you know, it's like all of a sudden you you're fear like you're that World War II scene where you're all on fire from Saving Private Ryan.
Oh,
you know, but so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to spray it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to spray it. I'm not going to get involved with some, thing that's going to burn it. But again, it's well controlled by these methods and it also controls different types of climbing vines, like for instance, poison oak, for instance, it will take care of kudzu, it'll take care of, and like all of those vines that are just out of control. Some of the wisterias, it'll take care of. And that, like, wisteria has gotten obnoxiously
it's bad.
in my yard. It's grown within my forsythia, and I blame my neighbor
for that.
Yeah, for that. But that's another show. where he decided to thin out the forsythia.
Oh.
And where it was planted like on a zigzag,
uh-huh.
he took the one zig out and took half of them out and wanted to transplant these great big plants on the other side of his yard. But that opened up the sunlight so that now all of these vines and things that all of a sudden just went crazy because they were getting light.
Sure. All these things.
You know, like we were talking with Arthur about how like cutting the grass, having the grass where it's tall enough mm-hmm. to where it blocks the sunlight and right. stops the weeds. That's a perfect example of how it was controlling the you know invasive insect weed. Anyway, spray it twice. Don't do it just once. You're going to spray it once and then go back the following week. It should kill it back to the ground. If you are daring and want to do it in the winter when it goes dormant, that is certainly one way to do it. I am not convinced that it won't come up from the roots. You can pull it out. That's why my son has it. He's pulled it out.
Pulled it out completely.
Yeah, and that, mm-hmm. you know, it's funny. He'll pull it out somewhere else, but he won't pull it out of my house. Yeah. Thanks, Carl. Anyway, but again, poison ivy sprays do work. You know, it works when they're actively growing. Like this winter method that we talked about, they are not going to be, they're not going to work when the temperatures are, say, below 45 and the plants are dormant. It's got to have foliage growth on it. So sucker punch, poison ivy control, again, those both are going to work for you. We'll be right back in the garden right after this.
Spring is here, and people have a lot of questions about Weed and Feed. There's one simple answer. BioAdvanced 5-in-1 Weed and Feed. Just one application kills lawn weeds and prevents new weeds and crabgrass up to 6 months. And if crabgrass is already growing, it kills that too. Plus, 5-in-1 feeds and greens your lawn. BioAdvanced 5-in-1 Weed and Feed. Get more from the blue bag.
Here's the dirt on potting mixes. They're not all created equal. Espoma Organic Potting Mix gives roots the ideal balance of air and moisture. It contains a special blend of beneficial mycorrhiza to help grow stronger roots, bigger plants, and more bountiful blooms. Try Espoma Organic Potting Mix indoors and out for all your potted flowers, vegetables, and you'll see why it's the best. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Organic potting mix from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929. Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant, paired with the perfect container, can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to zizi plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len. He's Julio. There's Aaron. And we've got Sam behind the glass. So, what's bugging me this week? Skunks. They sure stink. They smell at the neighborhood. Uh-huh. And that, I don't know. God's creatures. I've got a friend who has a mulberry tree. Mm-hmm. I hate mulberry trees and skunks because I have a mulberry tree and that they are prolific on spreading mulberry trees throughout the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you'll find these things. It's clusters. And the thing is birds eat them. and then they'll go and they'll poop them out, and then all of a sudden it's a nice little thing to grow the seed. So the seeds all grow. So it is a berry. It's kind of like it's a white, and it ripens to kind of like a blackberry. But the problem is that there's one by a friend's house, and that the berries are hitting the ground, and every night a skunk is coming and eating the berries. Oh, I mean, and so what happens is that, like, the family pulls in. They don't know whether they can get out of the car or not because they're afraid to confront the skunk. So they're trapped in their car. Is the skunk there? I don't see the skunk. Do you see the skunk? I don't see the skunk. So it becomes a mad dash to the door. No skunk, go! I went, and it's like, it's stories over the. I saw the skunk the other night, and it was out right by the trash cans, it's like, no, they're eating the mulberries. So anyway, skunks are omnivores. That means they're kind of like us. They eat both plants and animals, and the biggest animal that they would eat would be a mole. But mostly they eat insects. A lot of times skunks will start digging in your lawn and looking for grubs, earthworms, small rodents. But they eat berries for sure.
Yeah, berries.
Nuts. So they're kind of like a smelly squirrel. Well, they are big.
They are big. Yeah.
Anyway, so what do you do? Repelzol. Repels all, and the way that it works is it makes it so that it makes the flight response on animals, and it works against a wide range, everything from rabbits to skunks to chipmunks to deer, and it gets in their nasal passages, and it's like, you ever get that smell like where you get it in your nose, and then you still smell it like 10 minutes later?
Calm,
definitely.
That's what it
I've
is.
Had that. I have two cats. anyway, that's another show. It's whole egg solids. This is what's in it. Cloves, garlic, and all of this. And it irritates their nasal passages. So they avoid the area. So anytime we talk about repellents, it's not a one and done. It is you're training these animals or pests, whether it's rabbits from your garden, deer from your hostas, because you're training them so that they associate as like, oh, that's that hosta that gives me, makes me want to leave because it irritates my nasal passages. But if you do it once, it's going to say, oh, it was nothing. Yeah. Maybe I was just thinking about something else. But the reality is that if you do it again and again, and that we always go back to our buddy, Dr. Armitage, where when he was doing a walk through his garden on, I guess it was a Facebook or YouTube thing. And he's all of a sudden bends down and grabs a squirt bottle and just like starts squirting it around like it's nothing. And what he was doing is it was a deer repellent that he leaves in the garden so that when he's in the garden, he sprays it. It's not like he has to go, I got to go to the shed. I have to get it. I find it and everything else. It's right where he needs to use it. I suggest anybody who is dealing with types of issues with animal repellents that you put it where you apply it and leave it there. That plastic bottle, nothing's going to happen to it. Nothing's going to be, it just can't freeze, but you're generally not using these things when it's cold out. So you're using them in the growing season. So just leave it there, pick it up, spray it around when you go in there. And that way you don't have to go and look for it. I find that to be the most frustrating thing possible. You had a woodchuck, right? Or chipmunk? No.
Groundhog.
Groundhog. Yeah. Did you do anything about it?
No, he's gone.
He's gone?
Yeah, he's gone.
That's good. Yeah. Dude, it must have been that Cuban cooking. He's like, I'm getting out of here. He cooked that stuff all the time.
That's right.
Yeah, that's... But the repellents, they absolutely work, and we have good replies from both listeners and customers that, again, it's Repelzol from Bonide is an excellent one. There's another company called I Must Garden. I Must Garden is a great repellent line where they have multiple
types of, that instead of doing one for everything, they've got specific things targeted.
Like groundhog.
Right. They have a groundhog one, and they have a rabbit one, and they have a deer one. So, again, it's all about, you know, using it over and then over and then over. It's modifying the animal's behavior so that it associates your yard with that irritant. Make them go to your neighbor's yard. That's the best idea possible. That's what you really want. If you've got questions about repelling any type of, I mean, moles are a problem right now. And woodchucks are a problem. And that where chipmunks will start to be a problem pretty soon. Again, it's skunk breeding time.
Right now,
like, you know, hey, baby, I stink. I've smelled some of your cologne, Julio. We'll be back in the garden right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers' YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Me and Julio.
Me and Julio. Hey, yeah. If you're listening to us on radio, we'll be on at the same time next week. But if you want to see us anytime, podcast, please make sure that you give us a review. 5 stars we ask for, please. Right. It's a very important to us and our sponsors. We need only survive by our sponsorship. Also, Julio, call the hotline, right?
Yes, 609-65.
See? You go, Hul. 609-685-1880. And also, YouTube. We have more and more followers on YouTube because they like to see what we're talking about, what the plants are, what are you mean by what product, and we always have that on. Mm-hmm. So we'll see you next week, same time, right here in the garden.
See you in the garden.